الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما من دابة في الأرض إلا على الله رزقها ويعلم مستقرها ومستودعها كل في كتاب مبين. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ليس الغنى عن كثرة العرض ولكن الغنى غنى النفس. وقال: ورد بما قسم الله لك تكون أغنى الناس. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world, and together with that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made full provisions for all our necessities. Whether those necessities relate to our ruh and our soul and our spiritual life, or it relates to our physical life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sufficient and adequate means for that. The verse that I recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no creature on the face of the earth, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility for its provisions and for its sustenance. وَيَعْلَوْ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows his permanent abode and knows his temporary abode. Other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for that, for every creature in the face of the earth, all the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, the animals in the jungle, and the humans, wherever they may be, whether they are living in their homes, or whether they go out on some journeys, etc., whether they are in their permanent abodes, or whether they are in their temporary abodes, they don't have to inform Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm leaving my area for a few days, going to a certain country, so you should send my rozi and risk to a certain country. No. Kullun fi kitabin mubin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. All this is an open book, is in Alawiya Mahfuz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a full knowledge of the movements of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and where they will be at whatever time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the responsibility and ensures that their provisions, their rozis, their necessities are fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After we hear this verse and we hear verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Inna Allah huwa al-Razzaq dhul quwwati al-Mateen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one, the only sustainer, and He is the one that's most mighty and most powerful. Question arises that then what is the necessity for us to go out seeking our rozi and seeking our sustenance? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informs us that talabul halam, talabul halali, or talabul kasbil halali faridatun ba'd al-fara'id. For a person to earn an honest living and a halal provisions, this is obligatory duty upon him after the other obligations like salat, etc. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed our rozi and has destined for us what we will get. Thereafter, we are tasked with this, that we go and seek that rozi using the halal ways and halal methods to get that rozi. This is a test. We will only get ultimately that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for us. But what path and what way and what means will we adopt? That is the test. Person adopts the ways that are haram, completely illegal and forbidden, then he will still get that rozi. And if a person adopts the means that are lawful and permissible in the Sharia, he will still get ultimately that which is destined for him. The only difference is he will be transgressing the laws of Allah in the first way when he adopts ways and means that are contrary to the laws of Allah. And in other manner, he will be rewarded for his efforts and he will be given halal rozi. Rozi will ultimately come to him. There is no reality to this that the rozi will increase or decrease by adopting the means and ways. Person adopts ways and means that are haram and he feels that I will get more than what is destined to me, then there is nothing, he is fooling nothing, no one other than himself. In fact, if you look into the riwayats, when the person, even before we were born and came into this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had apportioned for us what we are to get. And in the wombs of our mothers, there were four things that were decreed. The angels were told to write it down and fix it. One was the rozi and risk. What will be the rozi and risk of this person? It was already determined before we had come onto the face of the earth. That is why person that adopts the halal means, and he will get that rozi, and inshallah that halal rozi will become a means of his spiritual upliftment, for his spiritual progress, and for his progressing in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his spirituality. And on the other hand, if he adopts means that are impermissible and illegal, then that person will get what he will get in this dunya, but that will become a means of his destruction, a means of his spiritual destruction. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned and forecasted and prophesied long time ago, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءِ مَا أَخَذَ مِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. There will definitely come a time, there will dawn a time upon the people that person will not be concerned. لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءِ Person will not be concerned. مَا أَخِذَ مِنْهُ The sources, regarding the sources from which he will get his rosy. أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ Whether it is from halal or from haram, he will not be concerned. And Rasulullah ﷺ together with that tells us also that the person that earns haram, then all that flesh that is nurtured through haram, فَالنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ Then the fire of Jahannam is more deserving of that flesh of body that has been nurtured through haram. Similarly, we understand in the light of the hadith that person that earns haram and he nurtures himself and provides himself in haram in eating and drinking and wearing his clothing, etc., and for his provisions, then his ibadat and acts of worship are not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam draws the picture of that person who is a wayfarer, who is a traveler, and he is in that position where he has disheveled hair, and his body is laden with dust, and he is troubled. In other words, he is going under difficulty and hardships, and he is a wayfarer, he is a musafir, and we all know persons, the dua of a traveler, is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he is calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, O my Allah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, where will his duas be accepted? Ma karu haram, wa mashrabu haram, wa malbasu haram. His eating is from haram sources, his drinking is from haram sources, and his clothes are from haram. So because of the effect of haram, we find that his duas are not accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, in some riwayat, we understand, just for taking one morsel of haram, 40 days of a person's worship is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it has very serious consequences. We should be very wary, especially our environments now, when we find that we normally deal with people, a large amount of people, our numbers are not much when you look around in the marketplaces. Many places we find that the place is dominated by non-Muslims, people who do not know the laws of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we become affected by an environment also and conduct our business sometimes in a way that they conducted. Perpetrating haram, falling foul to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disobeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes taking interest, sometimes deception, sometimes fraud, sometimes telling lies. All these are the evils in the marketplace that contaminate and pollute the rosy that we earn. And much depends, a lot depends, in fact we say everything depends on the rosy that we earn. The person does not earn halal rosy and he provides his family and wife and children with rosy and sustenance that is haram. Obviously, we know when haram goes into the body, then a person is inclined towards haram, inclined towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes the temptations are very great there in the marketplace. Business is down and things are not good like before, and a person is tempted. Some person comes with something haram, or something comes with goods that are stolen, etc. Person has the conviction in his heart, but because of his circumstances, he feels that if I buy this, then I will prosper and I will come out of my problems. Should remember that disobeying the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or contaminating and polluting our business with haram, no matter how outwardly it may look, that how good it may be, and it may be very profitable and very, very beneficial for us, in reality that is the destruction. When we take and pollute our businesses with haram, then they become the problems and the destruction in our businesses, in our lives, in our peace of mind and contentment of the heart. It is better for a person to earn a little bit of living, a little bit of rosy, and which is completely halal, and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the barakat and blessing in that rosy. And one sometimes with circumstances, and sometimes in most cases we find it is greed. When a person feels, no, I ought to get more and even more and even more, like so and so and so and so. Sometimes we find that a person feels that I am working so hard, and this person that comes from Pakistan or from India or from Bangladesh or from Sudan or from some other country, and he has been given in a short time so much rosy. This is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expends the rosy for whomsoever he wants and constrains it whomsoever he wants. People do not understand. They feel that rosy is related to my effort. No, it's not related to your effort. It's related to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person works from the morning till the evening and he earns a few rands. Another person sits down and an executive by his chair, he makes two phone calls and he earns thousands of rands, or sometimes millions of rands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives whomsoever he wants, whatever he wants. And this is the sole decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, وَلَوْ بَسَدَ اللَّهُ رِزْقًا لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهُ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدْرِهِ مَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ. The essence, what this ayat means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he had expended the rosy for all the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given everybody too much, لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, then they will begin to transgress the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the face of the earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives down that amount and apportions that amount. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهُ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدْرِهِ مَا يَشَاءُ. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down to whatever person he wishes. And إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully acquainted and fully aware and conscious of the condition of that banda. That is why we should have this belief that whatever is apportioned for me, this is good for me, and this is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I'm not given more than what I want. And as we mentioned, sometimes it's greed that motivates a person, and greed is such a thing that it's unending. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam expresses this in one hadith where he says that the son of Adam alayhi salam was given one valley of gold, then he would wish to have another valley of gold. In other words, if you think of this hadith, a very, very great and profound example given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person, the son of Adam, if he is given what? One valley of gold, not one brick of gold, not one square meter of gold, but one whole valley full of gold, that also will not satisfy him fully, and he will wish that he gets another valley of gold. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that what is the consequence and what is greed? وَلَا يَمْلُوا فَاوْ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ. It is only the sand of the grave that will fill up his mouth. Other words, his greed will be unending. It will continue and continue and continue till he leaves his dunya. Only when he reaches the grave, there will be the end. And this greed of his will never be fulfilled. And as I mentioned, that sometimes a person is tempted. But we should remember that the person follows the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though it may seem outwardly that he's at a loss, he's being offered goods that are extremely cheap and stolen, but he knows it is against the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will never be at a loss even if he earns less. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that in this very dunya, that thing that you abstain from, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you in a halal manner. A very interesting story is recorded about a person by the name of Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Abdul Baqi rahimahullah. He mentioned he lived in Makkah al-Mukarramah, just to show to us that the temptations are very great, but the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much greater, and the assistance is there for that person that abides by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of the odds against him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forget the efforts a person makes to abstain from haram and the efforts he makes to obtain halal. This person is in very he's in circumstances that are dire. He is afflicted with hunger and poverty. He's walking in the street and he picks up a purse. And when he finds this purse, he goes home and opens it. He finds in it a very, very valuable necklace. A necklace that is laden up there with pearls. And thereafter, when he looks at this, and obviously remember his circumstances, he's in dire need, struck by poverty and hunger, etc. He hears a sound outside of an elderly person who says, "Who is there that has picked up my purse? I offer him 500 gold coins." This person thinks to himself and says that he has picked up this purse, it does not belong to him, and there is somebody claiming it. He goes outside and asks him. This person identifies and shows him the signs of the purse, and this person takes the purse and gives it to this elderly gentleman. That person says, "Here are the 500 coins, gold coins, in lieu of this act of trustworthiness and truthfulness." This person says, "No, it was my duty. It was my duty to hand this over to you. It belonged to you. What should I take the 500 gold coins for?" And he abstained because of the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two great actions. One is trustworthiness. He could have hid that purse and that pearl with that necklace full of pearls and justified it, saying that I'm in dire need and I'm hungry, etc. I will make use of it. Secondly, he did not do this, and he was truthful enough to own up and give it to him. Secondly, he could have taken that 500 gold coins as a reward for giving that. But he thought to himself that this person is, because of circumstances, offering me this reward. I do not deserve it. I did not carry out any action, extraordinary action, but this was my bounden duty to hand this amanat back to this person, so he abstained from that as well. This person kept on insisting, but he refused and said, "No, I will not take this." As I mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forget the actions of a person, and our dealings are primarily not only with the servants of Allah, but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. We can deceive a man or two, but we cannot deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is fully aware and conscious of our actions. This person says thereafter, I'd undertaken a journey by ship, and it so happened there was a shipwreck, and I was among the survivors. I kept on floating, I was afloat for many days, and then ultimately I reached some island. And when I got to the island, I went to the house of Allah, the masjid, and I remained there. And thereafter I started reciting Quran in the house of Allah. The people around me became conscious that I am learned in the Holy Quran. They employed me to teach their children. And I kept on teaching their children, and for that they remunerated me, and they had given me some wages, etc. I collected some wealth. Thereafter, they realized that I'm a learned person as well. They saw me reading some scripts, and they asked me to teach their children there, right, reading and writing as well. I continued in this manner till one day they insisted that I should settle and get married. I refused, but upon the insistence, I accepted, and ultimately I got married to a girl. He said, this girl was a yatim, and she had lost her father. Now she's grown up, she'll get her married to you. He says, I married that girl, and the night when I met that girl, what do I see? I see on her neck that very necklace that I picked up in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And I was stunned by the scene, and I kept on staring at this necklace. Next day when I went to the people told me you had done a very, very bad action last night. In other words, this girl was married to you, and you were more attracted to the wealth that was on her body than herself. She was your legally wedded wife, and you were more looking and staring at the necklace that was on her neck. He narrated the story and told them about the necklace. When he told them that, these people said, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. What a strange story. They said, the father of this girl, he had come here to this place and had narrated this incident that he had lost his necklace. And when he had lost his necklace, he had found a person that who was so trustworthy that he gave back this necklace to me. He says that he should say, I haven't seen a Muslim like this, so trustworthy and so truthful and so upright, and I haven't seen a person like him. Allahumma jma' bayni wa baynahu. Oh Allah, gather me and join me with this young person so that I can get him married to my daughter. But he had passed away. He was so truthful in his wish to get him married. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through circumstances, sends this person there, and ultimately he gets married to his daughter. Thereafter he says that I was given two children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with two children, and thereafter the two children, my wife had passed away. When my wife had passed away, I became the inheritor of that necklace together with my children. And after a period of time, my children also passed away. And that entire necklace that it was in my possession in Makkah al-Mukarramah, I could have left it with me, but I had given it so trustworthily. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me the sole inheritor of that necklace. And ultimately, I sold that necklace with 100,000 gold coins. I was offered 500 gold coins there, which was legal for me to take, but I rejected it. Here now, through the sequence of events, with the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that necklace come entirely and fully and legally in my possession. And now I sold it for 100,000 gold coins. Trustworthiness and being fair and upright in our dealings, as I mentioned, is truly appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person is never a loser, but sometime in this very dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you and shows us that that very thing that we abstain from a haram source, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to me and you from a halal source. And here imagine now 500 gold coins and weighs 100,000 gold coins. Similarly, if a person obtains haram and obtains wealth by means of haram, then sometimes that wealth comes in, but it gets quickly destroyed. Sometimes a person's, not only his deen is destroyed, but his akhirat also is destroyed. Inshallah, we'll continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.